In the name of Jesus, amen. Gospel reading is the basis for our sermon this morning. Luke alone tells us about the two sisters, Mary and Martha, good friends of Jesus, along with their brother Lazarus. And Jesus is welcomed into their home. Welcome, Jesus, and you're welcoming God. Martha welcomes Jesus. Well, when you have company over, you know what that means. It means extra work. Extra work. You got to get things ready, fluff up the cushions, maybe do a little extra dusting, and there might even be cooking, meal preparation. When Jesus arrives at Mary and Martha's home, the work isn't quite finished yet. But Mary, instead of helping her sister Martha, sits down and listens to Jesus. The original language says, sat and heard his word. Remember, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That doesn't go over very well with Martha. Martha's trying to get things ready. She's involved in all the preparations, and Mary isn't doing anything. Finally, Martha can't hold her tongue any longer. She pronounces judgment on her sister Mary and also on Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Lazy Mary. And Jesus, you're just encouraging her. You're talking, she's listening, you can do all that later. We got to get this kitchen work done. But what happens? Surprise ending. Jesus compliments Mary and has a word of instruction for Martha. Just the opposite of what Martha was expecting. Now, at first, it might seem that Jesus is unfair to Martha. Every church, every community, every family has someone who does as little as possible. They might be polite, they might be nice people, they just don't do any work. You know people like this. They might be good talkers, they're just not helping out. And from that perspective, we have to say Martha was a good worker. If she was a member of our congregation, we'd say, boy, that Martha, she's a good church member. She was not a bad woman, nor was her action bad. She was working for a good cause. She wasn't goofing off. She wasn't sleeping in. She wasn't on her phone. She was working, and working to serve the Lord. Isn't that what the followers of Jesus are supposed to do? In fact, Jesus himself said, he who would be greatest in the kingdom, let him be servant of all. And, says later in the Bible, faith without works is dead. The Lord wants his followers to serve, and Martha is serving. So it appears that she's doing the right thing. Sometimes it is said a person has a choice between two evils. We would have to say Martha had a choice between two goods. There was the good of, on one hand, of serving the Lord, and there's the good, on the other hand, of sitting at his feet and listening to his word. Both are good, but one is better. And here's the point. The good of hearing God's word is better than the good of serving God. The good of hearing God's word is better than the good of serving God. Committee work and worship, both are good, but worship is better. To actively work for the Lord and to passively listen to his word, both are good. But given a choice, it's better that we first listen to God's word. And why is that a better choice? It's a better choice because you can't really serve the Lord unless He first serves you. And He serves you through His Word. You can't do the good things God wants you to do unless you first let Him do those good things in you through His Word. You can't be a man of God or a woman of God unless you've first got God. You can't be a fruit-producing branch unless you're first connected to the life-giving vine. You can't really be a Martha, at least a proper Martha, serving in the kitchen unless you're first Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. In the Christian life, there can be no output unless there is first input. Now, certainly, we can do good things. We can do good things, but we can do good things for the wrong reason. And our Lord is interested in the reason. Our world is full of hustlers and bustlers engaged in good causes, but without Christ, God is not pleased, and their motives are mixed. God isn't concerned simply with us doing good things. He's even more concerned that we let Him do good things in us first of all. And so on a very practical level, that helps us see where God places the importance of His Word. When people don't go to church, they have excuses. And generally, those excuses are pretty good. In fact, I'd have to say I've never really heard a bad excuse for not going to church. There's all kinds of excuses. Maybe there's projects to work on, things that need to be fixed around the house, yard work to be done, or maybe just relaxing. Maybe company's coming over. You got to get a meal ready. Or maybe if husband and wife both work, you know, Sunday morning, that's their time off, time to stay together, and with the high rate of divorce, maybe it's a good excuse to stay home with each other. Chalk up one for family values. Those might be considered all good, legitimate reasons for not hearing God's Word. But absence from church is a clear statement that what is happening somewhere else is more important than what's happening here. It's like you're staying in the kitchen when Jesus is in the other room. And we can properly say that what happens in church is more important than what happens anywhere else, because this is the place where Christ proclaims His message. Martha's busyness was not wrong in itself, but when Jesus is in the other room, it's wrong. Works of charity, good works, are not unimportant. Heaven knows we need them to rescue us from our own selfishness. But even the noblest work cannot be an excuse for not listening to Jesus. Regardless of how humble and lowly the church looks to the world, and in the world, it is here that the voice of Jesus is heard. When you come to church, you have a chance to come and sit with Jesus. You get to come and hear Him tell you how much He loves you, how all of your sins are forgiven because of Him, how there is a place in heaven for you because of Him. And you don't hear that anywhere else. Every business, every organization, every family will pass away, but the Word of God remains forever. Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever hears you hears me." And so when a person really believes that Christ is Himself God's salvation, this is the place he or she will be to hear that life-giving Word. And fruit is produced simply by you being here. Some of you are Christians today because in your history there were parents or grandparents or spouses who said, "I'm not staying home. I'm going to church. You can do what you want, but church is where we're going." Some of you are Christians today because you said on Sunday morning to your parents, I don't want to go to church. And your parents said, well, it doesn't matter what you want. Church is where we're going. We are Christians, and that's what's good for us. You have a debt that can never be repaid because of those faithful people who have gone before you. And so when you have that same attitude, church is where we're going, there is fruit that is born simply by that. No one ever makes another person a Christian by staying home. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And so hearing the gospel does really count and make a difference. And that reminds us that the church is different from all other organizations. And what makes the church different is this is the place where the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the forgiveness of sins, is heard. And that's the heart of the gospel. And when the church ceases to proclaim that, it's no longer the church. And then we'll give you permission to skip it. But until then, the word of God continues to go forth. The amazing thing about this story of Mary and Martha doesn't have an ending. We don't know what happened next. After Jesus instructed Martha, we don't know if she knows she took off her apron, folded it up, set it down, and then sat next to her sister Mary and listened to Jesus. Or maybe she just stomped back into the kitchen and said, well, I guess dinner's just going to be late. We don't know what happened next. It's kind of that way with each of us. Story isn't finished yet. Are we willing to take the time to sit and listen to Jesus and his word? Or do we find ourselves occupied with a flurry of activities, not having the time nor inclination to sit down and listen to our Savior? Jesus won't make you. He's not that kind of Savior. He will not force you to listen to him. But he will keep gently knocking at the door of your heart, reminding you that he has wonderful things to tell you. Things like how much he loves you and how much you are forgiven in Christ, and how because of what he has done, you have peace with God. May we pray for the courage and patience to listen to his word. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.